Thank you, Paul. John chapter 20, verse 24 to 31. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciple therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many are other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. I'm going to read verse 29 one more time. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. This morning I want to focus your attention, and the title of the message I have before you is True Witness or False Witness. True Witness or False Witness. Let's take a quick detour. You all know that there are many historical events in the world. Obviously many things are happening in the world today. We can deem them all historical. And you and I are part of a lot of these historical events. We are either eyewitnesses, or we were alive while it happened, while the event happened. So we all either strongly believe that these things happened, and won't dispute if these events actually happened or not. Because either we were there physically, or saw it with our own eyes, or we had eyewitnesses tell us about these events. So I want to look at three principles, and we'll follow those three principles all throughout the morning. So three principles that we have come to believe and trust that a certain event has occurred in history. Okay, so three principles. First, we look to the written documentation, or the written documented proof. Is there written documented proof? And number two, is there an eyewitness testimony of an event that occurred? Okay? And then number three, are there evidences, are there physical or other evidences that you can see that an event occurred? So when we think about more recent events in our lifetime, we think about an event like 9/11, where the planes hit the World Trade Center. And the plane went down in Pennsylvania. We have come to believe that these events occurred by either reviewing the documentation or the corroboration of eyewitnesses who were there, or some people who actually saw the planes crash into the buildings. Which in the case of the world, and then lastly, we can also see the evidences of that event happening. And in the case of the World Trade Center, it was pretty vivid, and you could probably see, I don't know if you saw it, but some of you could probably have seen it on television, where the towers actually started to crumble. So the event of the plane hitting the tower, and there is an actual evidence that you can see, and those towers crumbling. So if we step back a little bit and look at a little bit further back in history, you think about the Kennedy assassination, for example. I don't know how many were eyewitnesses here. I'm assuming none. But there is definitely a mixture of eyewitnesses in the world today, potentially some who are alive. But there is a lot of documentation of that event that's out there. Another event is probably Pearl Harbor. Again, many less people probably alive when that event actually occurred, but there are people who went through it and wrote it down, or eyewitnesses that actually passed on the details of what happened. And then actual evidences of the event can be examined. The last one I'll say is for our example this morning, how about the Declaration of Independence? I'm boldly assuming none of us were there during that time. The Declaration of Independence, I grew up in Philadelphia, so you can go to the Independence Mall and kind of see some replicas of the chairs they sat in, and sometimes some are replicas, some are real, supposedly. Others, you know, the chairs and the pens that they wrote with, or they signed the Declaration. You can see all of that. So there are physical evidences that you can see. So all of these events in history, we strongly believe and trust happened. Many times our behavior and lifestyles and our sense of purpose is shaped and directed by events in history like this. And we don't think twice about believing them, nor the validity of them. All of these events we believe by faith and we trust happened. But we examine the written documented proof, we look at eyewitness testimony, and we consider the evidences. This morning, in very much like the same manner, I want to call your attention to the event of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the historical event which happened in history. And we need to examine it the same way. Let's examine it the same way that we looked at those other events. So three things: the written documented proof, eyewitness testimony, and evidences. So first this morning we'll look at those three principles about the event of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Word of God, the Bible, as the first written documented proof, substantiates the resurrection of Jesus Christ in vivid terms. The Bible, which is the Word of God, and all of Christianity, everything hinges on this one critical aspect, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus did not raise from himself from the dead, then all of Christianity is just a religion. And its leader, Jesus, is no different than Buddha, Muhammad, or Krishna. Buddha, Muhammad, and Krishna are all in their grave today. But Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the third day. Jesus himself said that he would be killed, and that he would be buried, and that he would raise himself on the third day. This is truly an absolutely bold assertion that no one in history can make, nor has made, nor will ever make. And it is documented in the New Testament, in the Holy Scriptures. Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship with God. The validity of the Bible can be confirmed in numerous manuscripts that are available, and then some of them that are dating to the first century. Meaning that the Bible and the New Testament was written, and there were people who were actual eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. So you ask how many manuscripts there are today validating the Bible, and there are 5,686 Greek manuscripts of the New Testament. If you look at other historical writings, we look at Plato, Aristotle, and Homer's Iliad for three good examples. And these are writings that are well believed in society and all over the world today. But they pale in comparison regarding the number of manuscripts that are available to corroborate this writing, rather than rejecting it as a fake. There are 7 copies of Plato's writing, there are 49 copies of Aristotle's writing, and Homer's Iliad, which is the most, there are 643 copies. But the Bible, the Word of God, there are over 5,600. And that is just in Greek language. But if you add the New Testament written in other languages like Syriac, Latin, Coptic, Aramaic, then the total jumps to 19,000. So if you ask if there is a tremendous volume of documentation written about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is a tremendous volume of written documentation. This should give us an absolute sense of comfort regarding the authenticity of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We do have written proof, and you and I are holding it in our hands this morning. Do we have eyewitness testimony? There were numerous people when Jesus appeared to personally, and we read about Thomas as one of them. Jesus specifically came to Thomas a second time after 8 days to ensure that he saw him. Thomas and a majority of all the disciples of Jesus were all martyred, or all killed and martyred for proclaiming that Jesus was alive. If they were lying, all the Romans or the Jews had to do at that time was to produce a body. Produce the body of Jesus. Show the tomb in Nazareth is not empty, that there is a body there. They could not do that. There's no body in there in the tomb in Nazareth. No one could provide a body. No one could provide the proof of a body. Luke 24, 36 to 43. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he shewed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. You know, the easiest thing that Jesus could have done was said, Hey, I will resurrect, but I will resurrect in spirit. And those who believe me, only though they can see me. He didn't do that. There was a bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells his disciple, Here, look at my hands, and look at my bones, and look at my flesh. There was a body that was resurrected, and that was in Jesus was resurrected bodily. And you know, the best thing is that he wanted to show them that he's not just a spirit, that he was a body as well. He said, Give me some meat. And he ate in front of them. Broiled fish and honeycomb. I'm sure that tasted good. Bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is a proof. The Roman seal was placed on the grave where Jesus was laid. The Roman guards were guarding that grave. So it was very easy for them to be able to disprove it, but they could not disprove it. So Jesus' disciples could have easily been disproved. But they were not, as eyewitnesses. And Thomas is the eyewitness, the one who would not believe till he saw the nail prints and put his hand in the hole of the nail prints and put his hand in the side. And Jesus offers that to him. And Jesus says to him, Here, put your hand in my hands and see the hole, see the nail prints. The Lord was very gracious to Thomas. He came back after 8 days. Just to make sure that Thomas believed, because as history says, Thomas had to be martyred for him, for Christ in South India. And you look at the only part of India where there is a large population of Christians because of the Apostle Thomas that went to South India. Jesus wanted Thomas to know for sure. Jesus wanted Thomas to not falter. When he goes to the land of many gods, when he goes to the land of idols, when he goes to the land of Hinduism, Jainism, and Sikhism, and Islam, he wanted Thomas to be sure that Jesus Christ had resurrected from the dead. Jesus wanted Thomas to be firm in his faith as a true eyewitness. Just like Thomas and all of his disciples, the gospel spread to all the corners of the world. So the resurrection of Jesus has both have written documented proof and also the words and the eyewitness testimony of his disciples. Documented proof, eyewitness testimony. Number three is the evidences. You know, there are numerous evidences, but I want to highlight this morning the greatest evidence of Christ and his bodily resurrection from the dead is the Christian. The greatest evidence of Christ and his bodily resurrection from the dead is the Christian. Have you seen a person come to the Lord? Have you seen a person transformed? Have you seen a person whose whole life, when he became a Christian, is transformed when the Spirit dwells, when the Spirit of God dwells inside of him? Christianity is not about rehabilitating you from sin and making you unholy people holy. But Christianity is about first a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you are in that relationship with the Son of God, then you have been changed. Then you have been transformed. And you are daily being transformed into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus. You know, the famous slave trader, John Newton, he was a captain of the ship that was bringing slaves from Africa to England and to America. John Newton, when he was converted and became a Christian, he became an Anglican priest. And the words that he wrote of the hymn, Amazing Grace, is probably one of the most recognized hymns all around the world. Newton writes, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed." You know, the question this morning to all of us is, are you a true witness or are you a false witness of the resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Is Easter just a holiday filled with chocolate and silly bunnies and ridiculous Easter egg hunts, and an excuse for families to get together? Or has the facts regarding the events of Easter changed your life and my life? Thus, are you enjoying and rejoicing the fact that Jesus Christ is alive? On the resurrection, as I said before, of Jesus Christ hinges all of Christianity and the whole Bible and the validity of the Bible. Without the resurrection, there is nothing. Without the resurrection, the Christian has no hope. The Christian is a sad creature without the resurrection. If the resurrection is false, then people like us are also pitiful. Celebrating an event that never happened, ordering our lives for a mere mortal man, and living for a man who died and is still in the grave. But thanks be to God that the resurrection is real. And Christ Jesus is risen from the dead. My dear brothers and sisters, He is alive. And it is a fact that Jesus Christ is alive that I stand here as a true witness of His resurrection. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then you are a true witness of the Son of God, which took human flesh on and had died on a cross. Died on the cross of Calvary for my sins and for your sins, and He was buried. But oh that glorious day. Thanks be to God that He was raised from the dead. He is risen. He rose again on the third day. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, He tore the bars away of hell and sin, and He rose again. Hallelujah. Are you a true witness this morning of the greatest event in human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I love what Jesus says in verse 28 of John 20. We already read it. 28 and 29. "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." You and I have not seen Him, but by faith we believe and are blessed. And Jesus said to Thomas that we are blessed because we believed without seeing. Thomas saw the nail prints, and Jesus invites him to put his finger in the nail prints and to put his hand in the side. You know, there will be a day very soon that Jesus will come again to take us all to heaven to take those who trusted in him, and to take those who believed in him, and to take those who believe in the fact of the resurrection back to heaven. Are you a true witness of Jesus Christ? Do you trust him with your life? Have you given up your life to him, for him to lead and for him to guide? You know, there is no halfway here. You either believe or you don't believe. You either are a true witness or you're a false witness. There is no in-between here. Jesus does not leave any room for mediocrity or lukewarmness. If you believe based on all the evidences that Jesus rose from the dead, then you need to believe everything that is in the Bible and that Jesus has said and written through his Spirit in the Bible. You and I don't have the luxury of taking piecemeal and pieces of what has been written. It is all or nothing. The greatest event in history this morning is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have written documented proof. We have eyewitness testimony. And we have numerous evidences. The question is about your heart and my heart. Are we willing to bow down before our Maker and accept what he has given for us? The wonderful thing is we don't have to do anything. Everything has already been done. Finished is the work on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus died, he said, "It is finished." There is nothing you and I have to do. There is nothing you and I can do to change the fact that the work of salvation is complete once and for all. The only thing you and I have to do is to accept him. To accept that gift that he is offering to each and every one of us. This morning, the Lord Jesus is alive. This morning, the Lord Jesus is in our midst. This morning we have the wonderful privilege to worship him and give him thanks. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you this morning for that wonderful gift and that wonderful work of salvation done for us on the cross of Calvary. Oh Lord, how sinful and wretched and unholy we are, but yet you looked upon us and you loved us. You loved us while we were yet enemies. You loved us while we were still sinners. And it took you to the cross of Calvary. There on that cross, hanging between heaven and earth, being the perfect mediator for man and God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for suffering the pain and agony for us on that cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for shedding your blood for our souls so that we can be redeemed, so that we can be called the children of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that on the third day you raised yourself from the dead. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us the privilege to be your children. Father, we are grateful to you this morning for this time to remember what you have done for our souls and the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. May the single greatest event in history captivate our hearts this coming week. Help us to remember there is no halfway. We either believe it or we don't. We are either true witnesses or we are not. May our hearts and our lives be ordered according to the will of the Son of God. And help us to serve you, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Oh, I'm sorry, real quick. Well, let's also pray. First of all, I welcome each and every one of you to come downstairs. There is a meal downstairs that we can all enjoy together. We'll quickly give thanks for the food, and then we'll all go down there. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to you again for wonderful provisions of food. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time of fellowship. Thank you, Lord, that we have an in abundance to eat. Lord, many in this world are suffering and in pain and in need. We pray that you might help us even as we eat it, be thankful and grateful, and also share with our fellow brethren who don't have any. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.